95.9 The Fox. It's First Thing Fairfield County. Good morning. I'm Alan Lamberti, and I've got a very special guest in the studio. She's got a brand new show that's going to be at the Fairfield Theater Company this Saturday. Two shows at 3 and 8. Losing It, Stories and Laughter to benefit the Center for Family Justice, the one and only Lisa Lampanelli. Good morning,
yes,
Lisa.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here. It's like so close to my house now.
Well, it's the least we could do. We made it very easy for you to come in.
I mean, you should have come to my house, but you know what? I understand your limitations. It's okay.
Not a problem. Well, before we get into the show, you started off this week with a pretty big announcement.
Yeah. It's been brewing for a while. I've kind of, let's just say it. I retired from stand-up officially.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just didn't really seem to be something that hit me as something that I want to do anymore. It doesn't have my heart anymore. It felt like, okay, what's the next step? Because I love doing it. But there's something about it in these times. I'm like, are people understanding this message? Are people getting that I make fun of people to include them? And it's like, if they don't get that, then I don't want to leave people with any misunderstanding. I want people to know that from the heart, I want to include everybody. So sometimes when everything gets a little too PC, it's hard to get that message across with jokes. So I said, you know what? An issue with passion for me is this food and body image stuff that I've been working on for my whole life. And let me write a show about it. So that's what I'm going to do instead. It's with three other actors, and we just have a blast. And it's fun and funny, but there's a little bit of a message if you listen close. That's the thing with it. Me, I'm never not going to be funny. I'm always going to do something that has humor in it. But it just doesn't feel like, it feels like that's an old venue and this is a new one.
So before we get into it, are you still then the queen of mean?
I guess not, because the Fairfield Magazine called me the queen of kind, which I got to say, I love you, Fairfield Magazine, but doesn't have a ring to it. I'm working on my new title. I thought the Empress of Inspiration, since I'm so inspiring to people. Well, actually, it's funny because I'm getting, we talked about this on the announcement the other day, it was hilarious. I decided because I'm now also giving workshops about food and body image and self-love and self-acceptance that I would get my life coaching certification. So it's almost like, wow, Lisa Lampanelli, life coach.
Wow.
Those are four words. Maybe two of the words go together, but not all four. But it is pretty funny to go from one extreme to the other. But honestly, insult comedy was always done by Rickles and people like that to make everybody feel the same. And somehow the message is getting lost. And I'm like, oh, I want to do something that the message is freaking clear. Like yourself. And if you can't see that after a show or a workshop I give, then you're just dumb.
Well, could those guys stand in comedy today? Has the culture just changed so much?
I think if you're kind of, I think they could if they're really super resilient and they still, and it still makes them breathe. Meaning, with me, I was listening to an interview with Sarah Silverman where she said, you know, I didn't have kids. I wanted kids, but I love comedy that much. I got to the point about 6 years ago that I'm like, I like comedy, but I don't love it. I don't think about it all the time. I don't obsess on it. I obsess on these other things, which is, oh, my God, how could I help people? How could I make people feel happy? How can I make, you know, people feel a better about the body they have or the weight they're at, whatever weight they are? Because I had the ups and downs for years and finally kept my weight off, you know, 6 years after 100-pound weight loss. So I'm like, okay, this is kind of what my heart goes to every single day. Like, there isn't a day that I don't get up and awake happy to do this. It's really weird. It's like, oh, that's how comedy used to feel.
So it's been 6 years. You had the bariatric surgery.
Yeah.
And you've been able to maintain it because, you know, not everybody can.
Oh, dude, it's the worst. Getting it off, easiest thing ever. Because you pretty much get your stomach. It's called gastric sleeve. Basically, all they do is rip out 85% of your stomach so you can't eat like you have 9 rectums anymore. So I'm like, oh, this is great. Then after about a year, you go, oh, there's a pound gained. Uh-oh, 2, 3, what the F is going on? Well, guess what? Your body gets used to eating very little food. And the emotional eating part is what makes you gain weight. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, no 500-pound person or no me at 248 was like, I'm eating just out of love for food. It's like stuffing the emotions, the same stuff alcohol or shopping or gambling does. So I go, wow, I got to really work on this crap. And it really makes me mad. But I made a play out of it and I made this storytelling show out of it and workshops. I'm like, oh, okay, I can do it, but 6 years, I don't not think about it ever.
So the show is called Losing It, Stories and Laughter, and it's to benefit the Center for Family Justice. The world premiere will be this Saturday at the Fairfield Theater Company.
I know. I am so lucky, and I think they're luckier.
Now, so it's not stand-up. It's actually like a stage,
do you know what,
show.
Do you know what it is? This is how I describe it. If anybody's seen the storytelling show, it's like they're called, you know, there's The Moth, which is really famous, mm-hmm. Risk, really famous storytelling nights. What it is a bunch of people on stage telling different stories about a similar topic.
Okay.
My stories, I mean, I told all the storytellers, look, I love you. I know you all have these weight issues and we're writing this great stuff. But, you know, it has to have a lot of humor. So there's tons of laughs. And a lot of it is, it's really in between a play and stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
So a play has sets and a director and all these costumes and lighting. I don't need all that. I want to stand up there with one. Oh, and we do have those headset mics, which is super cool because I feel like an actor. But it's not acting. It's right in between. It's just telling the truth, but in a funny, curated way. So it's an actual really entertaining story. And we had rehearsal again yesterday, and I was like laughing so hard because I was like, oh my God, this is like a real topic, but it can be funny too. So I go, wow, this is the first show that there's only two C words in it, and it actually amuses me, which is hilarious because it cracks me up because everybody's like, is your language different? I'm like, dude, have you seen me on Instagram? I mean, just because you change your topic doesn't mean your mouth is any better. I learned to curse from the best of them.
Now, is the plan to tour this or film it? Is this a one night only kind of a thing?
Oh, no, this is going to be all the rest of this year, next year, until I feel about it the way I now feel about stand-up.
Okay.
Until it loses its little spark for me. But, I mean, it's been an issue that's been in my life for, you know, years and years and years since I was 18 years old and started gaining weight. And I'm like, okay, as it continues to resonate with me, I'll keep doing it. But, yeah, it's going to be out there. We're going to do it in, I think, Waterbury next year.
Okay.
And then just all over the country. I'm not going to brag, but my producer said we may even go to Des Moines.
What?
When she told me that, I almost kicked her in the sea.
I'm sure there's plenty to do in Des Moines. I'm sure it's a very lovely town.
Suicide.
I'll never go there.
Yeah, suicide. Because I've been there. And the thing about Des Moines, as I call it, is this is the thing. My next show actually might be about suicide because you want to kill yourself in Des Moines. That's what it's going to be called. Lisa Lampanelli killing it. No, it's so funny because I even said to my manager about this when I told her how passionate I was about it. She's like, well, like, you'll really go to freaking like Des Moines or wherever, Dubuque or wherever mm-hmm. these cities are for a week. And I'm like, it's weird because it's way less money, but the message is something I'm so into that I'll go anywhere.
Sure.
Like if they said go to Anchorage, well, probably not. Well, maybe, oh, no. There's not fat Eskimos. They're just all drunk.
But in your stand-up career, obviously, as you were on the rise, I'm sure you played a lot of very small towns in the middle of nowhere.
Of course.
It's not like you've never been there before.
No, I've been everywhere. I think I've been to most states. I don't think I went to the Dakotas or Montana. But I think other than that, most of them.
Wow.
Even those little weird square ones that nobody wants to be in.
The flyover states.
Yeah. I just want to be. It would be funny if I just toured blue states. But I'm not going to. I'm going to go everywhere. Because here's the problem. With food and body image and how much we hate ourselves. Like, that's every place. Like, I don't know anybody. I mean, you're obviously clearly perfect physically. You're a physical specimen. You're a tasty piece of ass. No, but you know what? But I find that even a lot of men freaking get this stuff. And just because it's about a subject doesn't mean it can't be funny.
Sure.
That's what I love about it. It's like, oh, I get to use whatever I'm doing with humor to actually hit people in the heart a little bit.
And it's probably something that's just grown with time because of social media and things like that. And general media, like, I'm sure it's only getting worse from here.
Yeah, like girls now are looking. We didn't have this Instagram when I was a teenager to look at and compare. I was like just normal looking kid, thin, regular. But I wasn't always bombarded with all these images. And by the way, it's not society's fault. It's not parents' fault. It's everybody's fault. Mm-hmm. Everybody's nuts. All these kids, you can keep them off the computer and they'll still have crazy things happen to them and have crazy thoughts about their body and how ugly they are or whatever. But you know what? If I can put a little message out there that just says, we're all struggling. There's not one person I know that during their day doesn't have some kind of struggle. And you know, if they say they don't, I don't trust them. Because I don't trust these freaking life coaches who act like their life is perfect. Because believe me, I've had all of them. And all these shrinks, they're all freaking nuttier than everybody else. So imagine if you had to listen to me for a living. It'd be terrible. I mean, my shrink wants to shoot himself. So yeah, I just think it is a problem that's getting bigger and bigger. Since I really have a kind of a soft spot for it, I said, why not?
Excellent. We're talking with Lisa Lampanelli. Her new show, Losing It, Stories and Laughter to Benefit the Center for Family Justice, is going to make its world premiere at the Fairfield Theater Company this Saturday. Two shows, one at 3 and again at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. How did you get involved with the Center for Family Justice?
Well, I have a sister, Nancy. Let me tell you this one. She's a yenta and a half. We're not Jewish, although I wish we were. She is a pushy broad. So she gets on this board of directors, and this is a great place, the Center for Family Justice. They help abused women, children, all this stuff that, thank God, I never went through. My sister's always yenting and up at the meeting. She's saying, my sister this, that, they like me. She says, can you do this thing? And some of the proceeds go to them. I'm like, who am I to yell at battered women?
Mm-hmm.
I said this, and I investigate this company, this organization. They do all this good stuff that literally I just couldn't do. Like, they're brave. They're really good. They educate people. I said, all right, this is one of those that you can really feel, again, in your heart when you know it's right. Like, also, I'm involved a lot with the Animal League of America, because there's just something about that organization that hits me in the heart. So the minute I hear, like, because I get pitched a lot of charity stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of eating disorder stuff, this, that, doesn't hit me right yet. But this Center for Family Justice, they do a lot of good. And I said, okay, who am I going to argue with?
Sure.
Yeah, so I give them some of the money. This is a lovely thing that I do. See? People, you used to think I was mean. I think I'm winning you over.
So you're criticizing the Fairfield Magazine. You are the queen of nice. Queen of kind.
Yes, queen of kind. I am. You know what? I am. Damn it. Today I've accepted that. I'm going to have to Instagram that. See, now I've turned into a social media whore too. Oh, I hate it.
So you mentioned your sister. You grew up in Trumbull.
Yeah.
Well, you know who else grew up in Trumbull?
No.
The guy you're talking to right now.
Shut up. Dude, yep. Where did you live?
I lived on Madison, off of Madison Ave.
Right.
Lafayette Drive. So I'm near the mall.
Yeah, of course. Oh, you're poor. Oh, so sad. No, so, those people are what we call bridge porters. Figure it out.
That's true. That's true. And I didn't go to St. Joe's like you. I went to Trumbull High.
Right. Were you lucky enough to be able to walk to the mall?
No, because there's no sidewalks. There's no sidewalks on Madison Ave.
There was no sidewalk. In my day, we walked on the street. I walked in the middle of the street. That's what we used to do because there was no traffic. There were horse and buggies. Wait, how old are you, man?
I just turned 37.
Oh, my God. So you're young. So your parents cared about you and sidewalks. With us, it was like, there's not. What's a sidewalk? Just walk to the freaking mall. But so who drove you, mom or dad?
Mom would if I didn't catch the bus.
Okay.
And then ultimately my senior year I was driving.
Wait, okay, so you caught the bus to school or to the mall?
Oh, you're talking about the mall.
Yeah, that's okay.
Guess mom. Mom also would have driven
that
me to the mall.
That is so cute. And did you guys, the mall's the best. Any movie that has a mall in it, like Clueless or whatever, I'm so happy because I'm like, all you do is eat big pretzels and flirt.
That's true.
The best.
That's true.
Did you have a fun childhood?
I think so. We moved around a lot. So I only went to high school in Trumbull, mm-hmm. but I grew up in, we moved from Staten Island, New York to Fairfax, Virginia, to just outside of Houston, Texas, and then Trumbull. And then I went to college in Philadelphia.
Oh,
so
okay.
I've been sort of all
Where'd
over.
Where'd you go?
I went to St. Joe's in Philadelphia.
Sure, sure.
So not St. Joe's Trumbull,
you
which
wish you
would do.
Because then you would have been like having me as an alumna
that's
to
right.
inspire you to greatness.
That's right. We had a Trumbull High had a Survivor contestant. I think that's
our
biggest claim to fame.
Guess what ours is, other than me, which
sure.
is so groundbreaking. Kevin Nealon went there.
Oh, that's right. Yes. And
I
then he went
that
to Fairfield
guy.
U, too.
Oh, see?
So he's a local guy.
Oh, man. See, he beat me because I actually went away to college. I went to Syracuse because I had to meet some Jewish people. This is the thing about freaking Connecticut. Not Connecticut, but back then going to St. Joe's, it was literally 100% white.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Catholic.
But yeah, you should have a few people thrown in there to give us a taste of what it's like in the real world. So when I got to college, I was so fascinated. There's a lot of different type of people. And guess what? If they like you, you can call them names and they don't get mad. And I think that's what happened. That's how the insult comedy thing started brewing, was that I was like, oh, wow, these are all my friends and they're all these different persuasions, but we're having fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, cool. Like it almost seemed like how a roast is.
Sure.
Like where Rickles and all would have that warmth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, you know, now that I know all my people, I've moved on to help others. And scene. God, I'm freaking great at inspiring people.
Lisa Lampanelli, it's Losing It, Stories and Laughter to benefit the Center for Family Justice. The world premiere at the Fairfield Theater Company this Saturday at 3 and 8. You mentioned you went to Syracuse for school. You studied journalism before you got into stand-up. And you actually worked at Rolling Stone for a while?
Yeah, what was hilarious was I wanted to get into journalism because, first of all, I thought I was a fantastic copy editor. Mm. I correct people. I love it. God forbid you make a mistake today, you're done. I'll freaking correct the hell out of you. I'll fact-check you, biatch. So I loved the idea of being an editor like that, a copy editor. But then I go, oh, man, with these different magazines, you could interview bands.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked at this place called Hit Parader. It was this heavy metal magazine in the 80s, and you weren't even born yet, I don't think. And, dude, I am not kidding. I must have interviewed every metal band, like Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, I mean, Rush three times, like
wow.
All the great freaking, because I was obsessed with prog rock.
Okay.
I liked anything that geeks who would now be like Dungeons and Dragons guys. And so I interviewed everybody. But then by the time I was 30, I was like, oh, all right, I'm kind of bored. Don't know what to do. And again, it was like with this transition to what I'm doing now after comedy. It's like, oh, my heart's not in anymore. And this other thing's coming up. Ooh, comedy. I'll try that. So at age 30, that's when I decided to do my first open mic.
But you had all that experience of writing. So you were able, you know, because a comedian has got to be a writer first and foremost.
Well, what the best thing about that kind of writing is, because it is journalism, mm-hmm. so it is different. When you're a young comic, you cannot afford a publicist. You're not a baller like I am now. I mean, I'm fabulously wealthy, as you know, with my one house. And now, let me tell you something. I could write my own press releases. I knew how to contact people. I knew how to call stations. I knew how to call newspapers, gets things in print. Once I even planted in the New York Times that they called me the comedy's lovable queen of mean. Mm. I made up my own nickname.
Oh, wow.
Then when the Times put it in, I kept saying the New York Times said it. So
they did.
It's a win-win.
It's not untrue.
Thank you. I'm a freaking truthful broad. So yeah, it's funny how that experience all led to that. And this, all my comedy experience, it leads to what I'm doing now.
Wow.
So nothing's ever wasted. That's the thing. People go, I wasted so much time. No, you didn't. You just look what skills you could bring forward.
That's incredible. And in addition to the Losing It, you've also got workshops coming up. You're going to do one in Wilton. And
I'm doing this workshop with a yoga teacher as a co-presenter called Love Your Body, Feed Your Soul. Because I just have been going to a ton of workshops myself in the past few years, like probably 6 or 7 years. About sort of using meditation, yoga, journaling, all the stuff I make fun of on stage, rocks with like writing printed on them. I using all those tools and things like storytelling to like really be vulnerable and really figure out why inside we don't like ourselves and what we use as sort of to fill that hole when really nothing will do that except self-love. So I'm giving this workshop in Weston is going to be November 10th.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so cool. I'm so excited because she and I are also going to put together a bunch of these all over the country. We're going to do a West Coast one and just do it at retreat centers everywhere. So if people go to lisalampanelli.com, you could sign up for that. And guess what? I'm going to give them a code for a discount. May I?
Yes, you may.
Because guess what? LL doesn't even care about money. LL could I'm going to move back with my mother in Trumbull. That's what I said. What's the worst that could happen? Nobody signs up for anything. I move in with my mother.
And it's not all that far.
How long to U-Haul. Come on. How long she have left? Come on. Let's be honest. I always like the house. Go to lisalampanelli.com and you'll see it's there. And the discount code is MATINEE50. MATINEE 50 for 50% off. We already have a ton of people signed up, but I want that room full and I want everybody to feel good about themselves and I won't make fun of you. That's what on radio this week when I made my announcement, the guy was like, you're gonna call people a fat C when they come in? I'm like, well, not till the end, behind their back. No, but it is a really great, loving environment. So, yeah, check it out.
Oh, wow. Absolutely incredible. The one and only Lisa Lampanelli is having the world premiere of Losing It, Stories and Laughter to benefit the Center for Family Justice at the Fairfield Theater Company. Two shows this Saturday, 3 and 8. Lisa, it's been an absolute pleasure today.
Alan, I got to tell you, when I walked in here and met you, I thought, what am I going to do? This guy's a jerk. But you know what? Now I have a warm feeling in my heart to you. I love you. You're a physically and emotionally perfect human being, and you were in Trumbull in the poor section. God bless. Seriously, thank you, man.
Thank you.